Isaiah 61, please turn with me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now notice this in verse 4, the purpose of all of this, that they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. That is the challenge that is before the true church, in radio and television and in local congregations. God has called us to build, to raise up, to repair the desolation of many generations. I want to say that one more time. This is what we are called to do, not just to hold forth, not just to have a bless me club of a local church, but they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Titles to me are very important. We've ministered a couple of times on all things are yours. All things are yours now. And the Corinthian letter tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:1 that all things are yours. All things. And the Bible tells us, even going back to Abraham in Genesis 13, when Lot walked out, God walked in. When greed walked out, God walked in. When strife walked out, God's covenant walked in and said, now we can do business. And God said, look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. All that you see. And of course, that involved faith, because the Bible said, by faith, Abraham, all that you see is yours. All. Psalms 103 tells us, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases. The alls of the Bible would take up many Sundays of preaching time, because there are some powerful and interesting alls. According to the Ephesian letter, the ultimate purpose of everything that all of us are doing as believers is that we all grow up into the fullness of the stature of Christ. I mean, that's getting past the feel-good stage and getting into the, no matter what comes against us, that we hold steady. Peter tells us, because Paul's message was such a strong grace message, Paul was so thankful to be in the family of God after his history. Peter had a great interest that what had happened at the crucifixion would never happen again. Peter's great interest and great passion was to know for himself and to know for others how you can be kept by the power of God. Some of the early beginnings that I grew up in, I thank God for the good part of it, always have and always will. But they could tell you how to get saved, but they couldn't tell you how to stay saved. And so you were happy on Sunday, but man, you struggled. By Sunday afternoon, you were headed downhill. But the Bible said that God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now that's not my message, but it's leading up to this part of my message. Because wherever you are today, wherever this church is today, wherever I am today, you put your name there, there is more. God has more. None of us have experienced everything that God wills for us to experience. There is more for this ministry. There is, sometimes I think, Lord, how can we stretch out any further? We're doing everything we know how to do where we are right now. But there is more. No matter how long you've known these things or known about these things, there is more. You are not on a dead-end street unless you've driven there by your own choice. If you have faith in God, you're not on a dead-end street. Did you? I made a wrong turn out in the stockyards the other day. I like to never got out of that place. And I was kind of in a hurry once I decided to go. And so here it is. And so I'd speed up and go to the end. I mean, it's another back up and turn around. And there's a wagon in the way. And there's a mule in the way. And there's a truck in the way. And then I find another street. And this is it. And I mean, streets that I used to know are no longer working. And finally, I found a way out. I finally found a way out. It took a little while, but I found a way out. Let me tell you, you're not on a dead-end street if you have faith in God. So this morning, the message that I would like to share with you is, all things possible, joy now. We need all things joy right now. You remember I talked to you in a previous message about the fact that we practice selective faith. And most of us that have any instruction at all, we know how to target something, go after something, and with reasonable, you know, staying with it, you see it, you achieve it. But we practice selective faith. And so we're so good at this, but we're not very good here, and we're really not striking too well in the other area. Folks, the area that we're living in, I know as far as being a pastor of a church, see, a pastor is a general practitioner. And I deal with many different areas. I cannot be guilty of just having selective faith that only works right here. There are many different areas that need, for whatever my input is, my faith. And that's what God's calling us for. Said, oh, I'll tell you, I'm doing good today, but if this came up, I don't know what I would do. That's what I'm trying to change right now. Well, we've been really successful and victorious, but you know, I'm trying to deal with that right now. That no matter what comes up, you'll say, all things are mine. God has given unto me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So God wants us to put on that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I almost gave this message the title of Who Stole Your Crown Jewel? Very valuable jewel, under guard, constantly, so that people can't steal it. You know, if we were half as protective of the joy of the Lord in our life as they are of the crown jewel, it would never get away from us. Now, I'm not trying to be complicated. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Thank God for your working out at the gym. We all need to do more of that. Thank God for proper exercise. Thank God for proper diet. But the joy, ultimately, the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's the promise. First of all, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because. And He's called me to preach. I know in certain segments, preaching's out. Well, I'm sorry. Throw your Bible out. Well, we've graduated to teaching. Well, we believe in teaching. That's why we have Bible school. And I think all of us are a combination of preacher and teacher to a certain degree. I've heard some teaching that put you to sleep. Story is about a little old lady that came into the service. And she told the usher that was in charge of seating. She said, sir, can you help me find a seat? He said, I'll be glad to, ma'am. She said, I want to sit on the front row. He said, ma'am, I don't think I'd advise that. She said, well, why not? He said, because the preacher has a tendency to be boring quite often. And if you go to the front seat, you'll just be locked in there. And I think it'd be better to find a seat where, if things got a little boring, you could leave. And she looked up at him and she said, young man, do you know who I am? He said, no, ma'am, I don't. She said, I'm the pastor's mother, and I'm visiting here from out of the city. The usher didn't change his expression. He looked at the little lady. He said, ma'am, do you know who I am? She said, no, sir, and he disappeared. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because. There's a purpose for that. He hath anointed me to preach. Preach. He hath anointed me to preach. Well, what has he anointed you to preach? He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You see, God works through people. And later on in this same chapter, it talked about cities, building, raising up, repairing cities. Actually, we're talking about the keys for people who desire to be world changers. You should desire more than just to occupy that little bit of seat that you're in. We've had about five major ministries over a period of time that everybody's called to preach, come forward. Well, that means 90% of the audience comes forward. And then I see about 10% here on Wednesday night. We're all called to preach. And if it doesn't work on your block and on your street, don't export it. Well, if I ever got to Africa, I'd be a witness. No, you wouldn't, because you're not doing it right now. You do what you can do where you are. God works through people. Angels bring messages, but God's Spirit works through changed people. People like us, to bring changes to cities, to nations, and to our world. No, it's not naive for me to think that I know we have, and I know we are, and I know we will continue to help bring change to our city, to our nation, to our world. There's no way that you could tell me any different but that our downtown location, praying every morning for this city when downtown was ghost town. Ghost town. How do you know? Because I was raised in this city. I am Harris. I was born in Harris Hospital. They could put my name as a poster child. And we began to pray, God bless this city. God change this city. God bring life, energize this city. Go downtown. If someone came here who had not been to this city for years, or someone was raised from the dead, they would absolutely freak out. No one slept downtown at night but winos. Nobody. But now, thousands of people are in the process of living and sleeping and taking up residence downtown. Prayer changes things. We've claimed nations, and God's given us a major share of two nations. One small, but out of the small came the big. Out of the little island came the larger. Out of 120,000 came 26 million potential. Angels bring messages, but God's Spirit, through changed people, brings change to cities, nations, and our world. Look today, terrorism. Now it's Egypt again. United Kingdom. It's 9/11 in the United States. And you keep seeing this in print, it'll never be the same again. London will never be the same. All of a sudden, London's waking up to what some of what we've gone through in New York from 9/11. And of course, I was talking to someone that was in all the terrorism over in Europe, Ireland, and all the things that took place there. Terrorism, porn, filth in movies, anti-God political trends and politicians. Start to say pollutions. The demonic Harry Potter invasion from hell against our children, youth, and our society. Someone said we have never seen anything as well orchestrated as the return of this current opportunity to be involved in such a wonderful thing. See, people crave the supernatural. They're just in the wrong place. They crave the super. Don't tell them. You can make fun of signs, wonders, and miracles and preachers that pray for the sick and those that believe for the supernatural and then go out and buy your little books and spend a fortune on a little demon with funny looking glasses, and that's cool. Now, what's the answer to that? Well, I have an answer. Only changed people, only people, I know there's more than this, but let me tell you, this is the foundational beginning. Only changed people can change, help change our world. Only changed people. We all want someone else to be changed, but change begins with me. We need a God explosion called revival. And I believe that there are pockets of it. Thank God there are pockets of it. Thank God for the place that Christian television, Daystar, and great stations. Thank God for ministries that are going out. But folks, if you travel a little bit, and I've traveled a little bit, the things you see, the things you hear, the things you watch in young people's lives, we need a God explosion called revival. But the promise, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to bring change, to preach the Word of God. The people, God works through people. The problem, that so many of the body of Christ have serious weights and bondages that hold God's people in daily bondage and limitation, keeping them from doing God's will and purpose for their lives. There's some serious weights, and I'm going to put myself in that circle because God helped me on something this week. Some of you have gone through some tough things. It's a young man represented by a mother of this church who could have served a life sentence that God miraculously delivered him from that, and he was in service. I tell you, God's at work, brother. God's at work. And I told him, I said, for the rest of your life, don't you ever get around questionable people. Don't you get around people that are in trouble, people that are dabbling with alcohol or drugs or whatever. Stay clean. Stay away from trouble and you won't get in trouble. But there are serious weights and bondages that hold God's people in daily bondage. I mean, good people. People that have been pastoring for many years. People just like all of us. And God has anointed me to preach. In fact, He has commanded me to preach. There'd be more people here today if I didn't nail it as strong as I do sometimes. There are ministries who are huge, but there's no commitment. There's no demands. No deposit, no return. You've got to teach people how to live. Young people need to hear what I was saying this morning. If you're not dressed appropriately, think, what am I provoking? Or if you're not doing the right thing, ask God to help you. But God has commanded me to preach a gospel that sets the captives free from major bondages and strongholds that bind us. Now let's get down where we all live. Let me deal with this thing that Isaiah 61, part of what it's dealing with. The brokenhearted. We've all had one. Someone said a preacher's not worth his salt until his heart's been broken into a million pieces. I heard that early on in Bible school. I thought that's negative. No, that's reality. Because when your heart's been crushed in a million pieces, it gives you compassion for others. I sat in a service recently and watched a person that I thought, why do they act like they act? And then I found out the physical problem they had. And I had to go back to my room and repent. It wasn't a mean thing. I just thought someone wasn't being properly respected. But the physical problem they had was causing a reaction that I thought, well, what's the deal? Well, we have to be careful nowadays. Don't let anything flip your switch. Don't let anything pull your trigger. Walk in grace. cut some slack. You don't know what someone else is going through. You don't know the battle that another minister or a fellow believer in the church may be going through. The brokenhearted. That's where it all starts. Something or someone broke our heart. And it got to you. Because you're human. And because we have this vessel, this treasure in earthen vessels. Something broke your heart. It might have been the loss of a loved one. Many of us have faced that in this, a close loved one. Just, you know, some people just seem like they're permanent in our life, and all of a sudden they're not. And I've seen some permanent folks go home to be with the Lord that, I don't know what your thinking is. You think, well, it'll always be that way. Appreciate people where you find them. They may not be there tomorrow. Appreciate people who have blessed your life and spoken into your life. I go through our phone book. We've got to totally revise. Because as I went through the other day, I thought, dear Lord, a number of people have gone on with the Lord. Well, let's move on. Brokenhearted. Or to set the captives free. See, a broken heart will put you in captivity. And when there's the loss of a loved one or something happens, condemnation sets in. Well, if I'd only done this, if I hadn't done that, if I'd only been more sensitive, maybe if I'd just done something differently than what I did, probably not. We become captives, serving a time in a prison of our own making. We're in prison, but we walked into that prison, locked the door, and threw the key out. The brokenhearted become captives. And then a spirit of mourning. Mourning's mentioned twice here. A spirit of mourning. A spirit of mourning is a spirit of hopelessness. It's when the lights go out. It's when hope turns to hopelessness. A spirit of mourning. You feel good while you're around people. You feel good while things are upbeat. But when you get by yourself, there's that heaviness. And that's another word, heaviness. A spirit of mourning. Ashes. The nothing that comes out of certain situations. Ashes. There's nothing but ashes that ultimately can come out of a broken heart and a mourning heart and a crushed heart that will not be healed. There's nothing but ashes that can come out of that. And there's no market for ashes. Heaviness. Heaviness. Hopelessness. I do all right until I think about that. I do all right, but I can't get away from it. I do all right, but it seems like this comes back again. And it all leads to a loss of praise and the joy of the Lord. It's a major problem in believers and churches today. We're clappy happy when we're together. But when you get by yourself, you still have something to live with. It could be the loss of a fortune or the loss of a few thousand dollars. It could be the loss of a loved one, the loss of a child. It could be a divorce. It could be something going wrong that you greatly depended upon. Martin Luther, the story is such a famous story. He was given to depression from time to time. Even the man that said, "The just shall live by faith," quoting the Word of God. And he locked himself in his study and was in there, I don't know, 2 or 3 days and wouldn't talk to his wife. And she must have been a wise woman. One day she walked in, she said, "Martin Luther, God is dead." And he threw the inkwell at the wall and he said, "Don't say that, woman. God is not dead. God is alive." She said, "Well, act like it, Martin." Act like it. Seems like everywhere I've turned for the last few weeks, I see a father and daughters. I see family scenes that bring back memories. And they will be, but they're not right now. Thank God for the wonderful family that I do have. You know, just being able to communicate with people is a tremendous gift. If everything's not like you like, just being able to communicate. Being able to communicate. It's so important. And I know some people look at Joe and I and you think either we have hearts of stone or steel. or we don't care, or whatever. It's not that at all. Both of us are doing all that we hopefully have learned and are still learning to be examples, not fake examples, not plastic examples, but the just shall live by faith. The only way out is up. And you can't walk around crushed and in mourning and in heaviness. You can't walk around always bummed out. You can't do that and live. I mean, it will affect your physical body. It will affect your mind. You can't think straight when you're just overwhelmed with heaviness. Your body doesn't function right. Your emotions are just a roller coaster. So notice what is being dealt with here in Isaiah 61. He's talking about real life. Broken hearts, captives, mourning, ashes, heaviness, a loss of praise and the joy of the Lord. That's where it's all going. I received a call just before leaving the house and just took some time because I heard a desperate voice on the other end of the phone. A minister from another state was calling. And he said, pray for me. He's tired. He's worn out. He's burned out. He's gone through some tremendous times. He's not a crybaby. He's a good man. He's a strong man. He's a faith man. But we all have our days. And I took some time, and I've already preached this message this morning. I thought, how appropriate the message that I'm into right now. How that God's will for you is that you have a change of wardrobe. That you take off that garment of heaviness, and you put on that garment of praise. That you take off that garment of negativism. You put on that garment of praise. Why am I dealing with this? Folks, we're not going any further till we deal with it. Free believers who praise and celebrate the joy of the Lord change churches and cities and nations and the world. There was an advertisement on the freeway several years ago advertising castor oil. And it had these words, when your oil goes, what's next? Now, if you ever see a swirl of smoke behind your car, you're in trouble. You don't outrun it, and you don't ignore it. If you look in your mirror and you see a swirl of smoke, something is deteriorating. When your oil goes, what's next? Advertising the motor oil of a car. When the joy of the Lord goes, what's next? When the joy of the Lord goes, what's next? Discouragement, depression, low self-image, condemnation. Talked to a young lady recently, she said, I want to be married. I said, until you get the right person, thank God you're not. Thank God you're not. You're one less counseling session for somebody. Trying to keep you straightened out every day and then keep him straightened out, that's a full-time job. When your oil goes, what's next? The loss of oil is the first step to the downward spiral of your automobile. But the loss of oil, the oil of joy, is the first step to the downward spiral of your own life, your spiritual life. That's why it said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because for the purpose of setting free all who mourn, who live with a spirit of heaviness. It's natural, it's normal, it's legitimate for a given period of time. But a clean wound will heal. Do you ever notice with a bruise you just keep bumping into something? And that's the way with the spirit of offense. A clean wound will heal. Someone can just do something terrible, but you forgive them and you go on down the road and you walk in victory. But if that thing's festering on the inside, everywhere you turn, something's going to bump that bruise. And it just festers that much more. So there's the promise. God has better things for you. There's the people. God uses freed people. There's the problem. The loss of joy, heaviness, mourning, grief. But dear friend, there's also the power to overcome. And thank God that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the full gospel. Thank God for the complete gospel. Thank God for the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. So someone took your money. So someone left you. So a child has disappointed you. So there was a loss of a loved one. Join millions of others. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? I'll never trust women again. I'll never trust men again. I'll never trust. You're a miserable person. First of all, we trust God, but you know, you need people to help you live in this life. So we're talking about the power to overcome. You see, verse 3 said, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. How in the world can you have beauty come out of ashes? I used to have to empty the ashes from our fireplace and home Dad and Mom built years ago. Man, that's a messy job, especially if the wind's blowing. And we had an outside trap, and so you'd take the bucket outside by the chimney and you'd open that little steel door, and if the wind was blowing, you'd come in looking like the ashes. What beauty is there in ashes? Let me tell you, God can take nothing and make something out of it. God can take a disaster and make something out of it. Every time someone asks me about what has happened, and I just have to give the short version nowadays. And they said, you know, it really is true that God can take disaster and bring blessing out of it. I said, yes. That's the story of our church. That's the story of our school. That's the story of all of us. The power to build the old waste places, to raise up, to repair. We're not, listen to me, forget full-time ministry. Forget it until you get you straightened out. Changing our city, forget it until you get you straightened out. It's amazing, people that are always trying to change churches can't even live their own life. Well, if they did this or they didn't do that, or, you know, I went to this and I did a seminar and our church doesn't do 6 things right, 4 things wrong. You know, people that are in that category, they can't even live life themselves consistently. So what are we saying? Here's God's will. What am I saying to you? I know I'm dealing with a delicate subject, but our family has dealt with delicate subjects. We've suffered loss. We've come through times of loss. And there's a legitimate time of grief, it's a God thing. We go through that period. But folks, somewhere you have to tie your shoelaces and stand up and say, I'm going to make something out of the rest of my life. Amen. I'm going to make something out of the rest of my life. I'm going to help somebody. I'm going to find someone else that's hurting. The power to build the old waste places, to raise up, to repair desolations of many generations. That's what our mission is, to repair desolations of many generations. So much has happened since the Roe versus Wade. Most people have given up on it completely. Still doesn't make it right. We've given up on points of righteousness. That's just the way it is. Not in God's book, it isn't. The Ten Commandments haven't changed. We're not saved by them, but they still govern our activity. We're still not supposed to lie, steal, cheat, whatever. But what's the secret to make my decision today? Isn't it amazing? Lesson we learned at Mayo Clinic when we were there with our youngest daughter. Happy people heal faster. That came from the top, from the head office of all of the doctors and surgeons and brilliant minds from around America and the world. Happy people heal faster. Well, I tell you, happy people help heal others. Take off that garment of heaviness. Put on that garment of praise. Remove that garment. It's time for a wardrobe change. Give that old coat away to somewhere. Goodwill might not even accept it. Give that old dress away to someone. No one may want it. They know the truth about it. Get that old garment of heaviness. Every time I put this garment on, I get heavy. I'm full of sorrow. Strange thing, when I take it off, I feel better. God's speaking to us today. Either you are overcoming or you are being overcome. And God's calling the body of Christ, remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. If Jesus could be happier going to the cross than you are sitting here in the service on this Sunday morning, I think we need to start praising God. You say, well, I can't be hilarious like some of these people are. Try this as the first step. Just works on both sides. And then you open your mouth just a little bit and you say, ha, ha, ha. Now, I've told this several times because it was so cute. We were out in California, Dwight and Zonell, and we went into this little theme restaurant, you know, the 50s. And Joy tried to drive one of those little cars that Brother Thompson's little grandchild was driving. It's amazing. That little six-year-old, she could just handle that thing. It's amazing. These kids are so sharp. Joy started trying to drive that thing. She ran through bridges. She ran into the ocean. She creamed half the car. And all of a sudden, I heard a laugh that I haven't heard in a long, long time. And I looked over, and Dwight looked at me. He said, that's Joy. I said, yeah, that's Joy. She was laughing and laughing and laughing, laughing and laughing and laughing. And she was tearing up cars doing it. I mean, she was just doing a terrible job of driving, but she was just having a great old time. It's not how good you drive. It's just let go and let God have his wonderful way.